Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome again, everyone. Glory to God. You are here with us in our Kingdom series. And today, well, would you know it? Today is day 7 of this Kingdom series. So we are actually, we've been talking about this for a while. And going to continue on here today. We pray that the Lord give us understanding. Amen. Before we get started, I did give us an assignment yesterday, those of you who are here. And the assignment was, well, you know, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, more appropriately, you know, what is it that we have that the world doesn't have, or should have, that the world doesn't have? And I said, well, look for, you know, 5 or so places where it could be promises, it could be something that's differentiated between kingdom citizens and the rest of the world. I hope you all remember that assignment. I said, well, we're going to talk about it tomorrow. So today, before we get started, you know, if you did that assignment, post something in the chat room. You don't have to post all 5. You can just post 1 or 2. But post something, you know, that you found or already knew where kingdom citizens are differentiated from the rest of the world. So, many scriptures, and you have to give us also a scripture. If you say something, give us a scripture behind that. So we're going to study this thing together, because today I want to look more into the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. What does it look like? You know, so, okay, let me see if anyone is posting anything. Not yet, but I hope you will. Just post it in the chat. Just post whatever you have in the chat room, and, you know, just 1 or 2, or more if you want, but at least 1. And then let's see, excuse me, let's see what everybody found. Praise the Lord. So I am looking. I see Brother Anno has posted something. Lady Evelyn has posted something. Where's everybody else at? Sister Grace has posted something. All right, let me read some of this. Praise the Lord. You know, it said, Brother Anno said, angelic encampment, Psalm 34, verse 7. Well, praise the Lord. He also said, you know, happy and blessed is the one that takes refuge in the Lord. So we're assuming that the kingdom citizens have these benefits over and above the world. Okay. And Lady Ebon posted John 16, 33. You know, well, you know, that one is also something that the Lord gave us, you know, comfort about. You know, everybody in the world has challenges, right? And we all face different things. But the Lord gave us this promise, you know, that we will have victory, basically, you know. In the world, he said, you will have tribulation just like everybody else, but you will have the victory. You know, so yeah, that's a good one also. you know, Stabaka posted, kingdom citizens are righteous and they have clean garments. Matthew 22, the story of the parable of the kingdom. You know, in Matthew 22, it gives a parable of the kingdom, right? And they have, you know, those that are invited, they have the clean garments, good lessons all around. All right, anybody else? But someone said, Sister Pearl Akibon says, we are privy to the mind of God because His Spirit reveals His mind to us. That's a beautiful one. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 11. We also understand that, you know, the Spirit of God, the world cannot receive the Spirit of God. So, to emphasize, to underscore what Pearl said, you know, Jesus said the same thing in John 14. When I was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, you know, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is something that the world themselves, you know, cannot receive, you know, but God will give them, you know, God will give us the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, and as Sister Olunife says, His voice we follow. So my sheep hear my voice, you know, and they'll follow me and I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish. Hallelujah. Beautiful. And also, no one can pluck them out of my hand. And a stranger's voice, they will not follow. So the voice of God is given to us, and the world may not have that voice, because Jesus said, he that is of God, heareth God's voice. And ye therefore hear it not, because you are not of God. So that's a good one. Praise the Lord. Let me see. Yes, that Julia said, you know, we have life. And she quoted a lot of things. I shall not die. I have the works of God. That's beautiful. Well, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, John 10 and 10. But Jesus said, I have given you. So the devil is the prince of the world, right? But Jesus said, I, on the other hand, have given you life. Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Victor said, we have the word of reconciliation, which God has given us. And we also have, you know, the, you know, Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. And, you know, he cited, you know, some other scriptures there. So, you know, on and on and on. We are of God. We have overcome the devil. Ah, praise the Lord. Sister Maggie said that. Sister Mary, citizens have humility and they have eternal life. You know, and so on. You know, this is beautiful. You know, thank you for, you know, doing the, you know, doing the assignment. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk for a minute about the Holy Spirit. I'll come back and look at, you know, the things that people are posting in a bit. You know, the Holy Spirit. Why is it that we have the Holy Spirit and the world does not have the Holy Spirit? Why is that? Well, in the book of John 14, verse 17, Jesus made that statement. He said, look, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And that's the answer, because Jesus said it. He did not say why they can't, but I know why they can't. You see, because the Spirit of God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And the world is full of darkness. You know, so, you know, they can't receive it. Listen to this. He said in from verse 14 of John, 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's the other thing too. People in the kingdom, they keep his commandments. And that's one rule in the kingdom. You do as the king says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because he seeth him not, but you know him, and, you know, and so forth. And he dwells in you, and later he will be in you. And the world is full of darkness. They cannot receive the Spirit of light. You know, now, one thing that is common between us and the world is Jesus. Jesus is giving to everybody. You know, John 3:16. We say, look, God so loved the world that he gave them Jesus. So Jesus is the gift of God to the world. And the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is the gift of God to the church or the people in the kingdom. Now, actually, the Holy Spirit is giving, you know how Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, people in the world will not keep his commandments. And we are told that the Holy Spirit is giving to them that obey him. Isn't that wonderful? You know, praise the Lord. So, you know, the many, many things, you know, to be said about the Holy Spirit. You know, listen to Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Say, we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So, well, the world does not obey Christ. The world obeys their master. The Bible says, well, whomsoever you yield yourselves, you know, servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey. Well, the world obeys, you know, the master, which is the king of darkness, the devil. And so, but the people of God, they obey the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is giving to them. And on and on and on. Let me see what else people are saying. You know, people have said a lot of things, very, very wonderful things that you said today. All right, I'm going to pray a bit and get into my lesson, and I'll bring some of these as part of today's lesson as well. So let's get to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for the eagerness, the excitement, the people of God to participate in these exercises to learn more about the kingdom. And we give you, Lord, the praise and glory. I reveal your word to us even more so today, for we know it's line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little, and the Lord will shine the entrance of his word, you know, bring light to shine in our hearts and give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk about the kingdom of God and the church. And this is a deep lesson, and I may break it up, this particular subtitle, into two. First, I want to talk about the kingdom of heaven. You know, now we know that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is really the same thing. Matthew calls it heaven. Luke and others may call it God. It's the same thing. So the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, that's what I want to talk about. Now, if we think of the word kingdom, what comes to mind? That's another exercise. I want to do exercises throughout this room today. When you think of the word kingdom, you know, what comes to mind? I've already defined it in this lesson. I mean, this series. You know, so what comes to mind when you think of the word kingdom? You can post your thoughts into the chat room, you know, and then I'm going to tell you, you know, some one way that I want us to consider the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But I want to use the phrase kingdom of heaven for a particular reason, right? I want to use that phrase because there is something I want to bring out of it. You know, and the thing that we want to bring out is, number one, heaven as opposed to the world. You know, we talked about that quite a bit yesterday, that, you know, you belong to heaven as an ambassador, but you live on the earth. So we want to look at what the concept of the kingdom of heaven means from that perspective. You know, now, in the phrase kingdom of heaven, some people may get confused and think of it as though it means that it's located in heaven. I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. Because if we say, that's why, you know, I actually changed the title to Kingdom of Heaven and the Church. You know, so because we don't want people to be confused that just because it says Kingdom of Heaven, then that means it's located in heaven. You know, so I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. The first thing is, what is a kingdom? Well, let's see if what people posted. You know, kingdom. Kingdom is a territory under the authority of a king. Beautiful. That's exactly what I was about to say. Thank you, Sister Grace, for that. And others posted, you know, what the kingdom of God represents. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and so on. Now, a kingdom is a country, a state, or a territory that is ruled by a king. It's just that simple. You know, so that's why we call it kingdom, because it is the domain of the king. So king's domain. Bring those two words together, you get kingdom out of it. Praise the Lord. So let's take a look at what the kingdom of heaven then might mean. Now, we know that we have literal kingdoms, the kingdom of this, the kingdom of that, and you know, in those cases, they actually represent location. You know, if you talk about the kingdom of Rome, you know, yeah, it was initially, and then they spread, and they got colonies and so forth. You talked about Babylon, kingdom of Babylon, this and that, you know, so, but the kingdom of heaven is a little bit different, you know. If we think that the kingdom of heaven means that it's located in heaven, then let's look at the sister phrase, which is called kingdom of God. I've already shown you, you can look at some parables that Matthew gave. He called them the kingdom of heaven. Luke reported the same parables and called them kingdom of God. So, you know, if the kingdom of heaven is equated to kingdom of God, you know, it's kingdom in which God is the king, right? And heaven rules. If kingdom of heaven means that it is located in heaven, what does kingdom of God mean then? Does it mean that the kingdom of God is located in God? If we think the kingdom of heaven means it's located in heaven, then the kingdom of God should also mean that it's located in God. Well, in a way, yes. But, you know, it's more about ownership rather than location. It's ownership. Who owns the kingdom? Who's the ruler? You know, so, you know, that's the thing I want to, you know, for us to understand. Now, God described himself as king, you know, and is the king not only of the king of the Jews, he's the king of kings, and he's the king of his kingdom, of course. So let me give just some few verses quickly. This is a summary before I go into today's one, because it's important. I'll just go through very quickly. I'm not going to stop to read all of them. Here's all the places where, you know, we see that God is king. Might be king of Jews, might be king of kings, you know, might be king over his kingdom. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. you know, the Lord called himself the King of the Jews. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Well, you know, people called him King of, who's born the King of the Jews. Right? We see all these things. In the book of Revelation 19 and verse 16, he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, powerful prayer. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, might, and so forth. Thou, you know, rulest over all. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. You know, wonderful things that David said. Thine is the kingdom. So we know the kingdom belongs to him. You know, well, what about Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9? Now, this one, I want to read. You know, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Remember, we're talking about, you know, God as King. You know, so, and this is what he said, and the Lord shall be King over all the earth. You know, so God's already king in heaven, but he will be king over the earth. So the destination of the culture of heaven is the earth, which is heaven's main territory, where God wanted to expand his region into earth. That's what he said in the beginning. He created the earth and put man in charge to expand the things, you know, God's rulership into the world or earth, but through man. He said, in that day there shall be one Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who may think that there are three, no. There will be one Lord and his name one. You know, so he will be king over all the earth. Finally, the revelation will come into the hearts of people in the kingdom. You can't have three kings in the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. That's not going to be possible. You know, there's only one king in a kingdom. Otherwise, you know, whom will you serve? It's confusing. So the Lord is that king. And in that day, he will be Lord over all the earth. And that's the domain of the kingdom of heaven. Destination. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Destination of things that happen in heaven. The unction and things that happen in heaven is actually the earth. You know, the heaven by itself, you know, is called, you know, the throne of God. Heaven belongs to the Lord, he said, you know, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Psalm 115 verse 16. Revelation 11, we see from verses 15 to 19 that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So these are literally showing where the kingdom of our God will be. It's not just some abstract kingdom in heaven. You know, so let's bear that in mind. You know, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 introduces him and said, you know, his government, you know, shall know no extent. You know, when it comes, it sets up like that. But Micah tells us that in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that, you know, he does bear rule, but his rulership and his goings forth have been from of old. So it, even though it looked like he's just setting up shop, like Isaiah, if you read Isaiah 9:6, you would think, well, you know, when he comes, he will set up shop. Well, Micah is telling you that no, he did not just set up shop. He's been there from of old. You know, so that's how we read it. So all these verses show us the government, say of the increase of his government and the peace thereof, there shall be no end. That's Isaiah 9 and 7. You know, and then he's telling you about his kingdom. Say, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and so forth. He said he will be sitting on the throne of David. Throne of David is not in heaven. David is associated with the city of Zion or Jerusalem. You know, so, and then at the end of the day, the Lord will bring forth the new Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you know, I write upon you the name of my God, you know, and the name of the city of my God, and so on. So, and we did a series some time back called Heaven and Earth series. If you were not here when we did it, or as a refresher, you can go back and read some of those things. But today I just wanted to point out some of these things about, you know, the kingdom of heaven. Now, where will this kingdom be established? We were just talking about it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 5 says, you know, talks to you about those who will inherit certain things. But what will they inherit? You know, the way he puts it between those two verses. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and then verse 5, and compare them. In verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, those who are humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 5, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, if you put those two things together, the kingdom of heaven is superimposed upon the earth. You know, now the earth is not the kingdom, but it's a part of his kingdom, because it's a colony of the kingdom. See it. I want you to see it like that. The kingdom of heaven also has its own colonies. Earth is the colony of the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven superimposes upon all these colonies. And earth, whatever goes on the earth, that's why it says in Psalm 24, verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all part of his kingdom. You know, he made it. We did not make ourselves. You know, we're the people of his pasture and sheep, the people of his hand and so forth. And the Psalms will tell us. So this kingdom will be literally upon the earth. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. You know, this is Jesus telling, you know, certain things to his, writing to the churches, the seven churches that, John was told to write onto. And, you know, in some cases, as we've done that story, a lesson, you know, he will give, a promise. He that overcometh will I make a temple, a pillar in the temple of my God, and shall go no more out. I'll write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from out of heaven. Well, come down to where? Coming down to the earth. You know, you can also read that in the book of, you know, in later chapters in Revelation chapter 20, 21, and so forth, begin to describe, you know, the city, and say, well, you know, come and see, and I'll show you something. Then he began to show it to him, you know, and then, you know, in Revelation 21, he began to see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. It's Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, adorned as a bride for her husband. And he began to describe what it looks like. Well, you know, whatever Jesus is building, he said in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare you a place. You know, when it's ready, I'll come. Well, you know, eventually it's coming down from heaven and coming down and becoming the new earth. It's just building it, you know, so there is it's a paradox about the kingdom of heaven. It's both a spiritual and also a physical kingdom. That's a spiritual component, and it also has a physical component. Here's another thing that's different about, you know, in the exercise I gave you yesterday, different about the people that God, you know, chosen in his kingdom. He said, look, in Exodus 19 and 5, he said, look, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. You know, that's how God wants it. All of them in his kingdom, they're priests and they're kings. You know, we see that in Revelation 1. He told us that God has made us unto our God kings and priests. In the kingdom of God, this is something that's different. Also, when you think of what's different between us and the other world kingdoms, in God's kingdom, all his subjects are kings. They are also priests. They are not peasants. Revelation 1, verse 6. Also, Revelation 5, you know, in verses 9, after Jesus, verses 9 and 10, after Jesus took the book and proceeded to open, you know, open the seals, he said, look, they sang a new song and say, you're worthy to take the book and so forth. You know, because you have redeemed us from all kindred, tongue, and nation, and people. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. That's the destination. On the earth. Now, not this earth the way it is now. This earth the way it is now is doomed. It's doomed. There will be a new earth. It's referring to the new earth. Daniel chapter 2 tells you that the kingdoms of this world will be destroyed by the kingdom that God will establish. Will destroy it all. So this world, that's why the Bible tells you, don't love this world in its present condition, because it's going to be destroyed. You know, set your affection rather on things above. Love not the world. 1 John 2 and 15. Neither all the things that are in the world. You know, if you love the world, then we're told, you know, that the love of the Father is not in us. Colossians 3 and 1 and so forth. Set your affection on things above. You know, at the moment, it's above. You know, but we need to bring it down. It's coming down from heaven. And, you know, that's literally. But yeah, even figuratively, even now, the kingdom of God can begin to come down. You know, that's why Jesus told one man, he said, look, you're not far from the kingdom. And you understand the concepts. The kingdom of God can begin to come down and people can begin to receive and enter this kingdom. We already talked about the only way to get in there is to be born again. You know, so, you know, now, because today's lesson is about the kingdom of God and the church, I'm taking my time, first of all, to describe the kingdom of God, where it will be and so forth. It will also be in the hearts of men. Jesus said, well, the kingdom of God is within you, and so forth. You know, so this kingdom, though, for the time being, it's not of this world. John chapter 18 and verse 36. Jesus said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. That was then. But one day, hallelujah, praise God, one day it's going to be, you know, totally different. You know, let's read Isaiah chapter 35. You know, and verse 1, there's something that God is going to change, you know, when he begins to, and as he's preparing us through these lessons, you know, for us to understand, you know, what's coming and the role that we have to play, you know, the wilderness, the solitary place, you know, everything will change, will blossom like it was in the beginning. Remember, in the beginning, God didn't create any wild animals because he looked at it and he said it was beautiful. Everything was peaceful. Everything was beautiful. The lion was not screaming or trying to eat up the deer or the coyote trying to eat the chicken and so forth. None of that stuff. Everything was in order. You know, when the glory of God departed from Adam, as it is written in Romans 3 and 23, when that glory departed from him, the animals, the creation, the plants, the trees, they could no longer get that sense from him. Because they looked to Adam and they were enlightened, just like all the other things looked to God. They were enlightened. There was an aura out of this man that put everything in order. When he lost that, there was no order anymore. You know, and you know, Adam used to tell them, you know, give them instruction, give them their name, put them in order. When he lost all of that, you know, they had no direction. They became wild. You know, plants became wild, animals became wild, and so it wasn't like that. But God's going to restore it again. It'll be like it was in the beginning. The lion will lay down with the deer and all of these things. You know, they did not, you know, it'll be back like it was in the beginning. You know, when the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, then he shall put down, as the Bible says, he shall rule, and he shall put down all rule and authority. They will all be under him. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2, verses 2, sorry, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, and also Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Both of these places give exactly the same prophecy. In the last days, he says, something is going to happen. The mountain of the Lord's house, it's called his kingdom actually, that's the capital, shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, literally here on the earth. And many people shall come and say, come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord. Well, that's really, you know, they're going to the capital city, the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways and so forth. Micah gave exactly the same prophecy in Micah chapter 4, first couple of verses. You know, so you know, this tells us where the kingdom of God is going to be. Well, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is within you. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. Now, that's the literal aspect of it. I mean, that's the spiritual aspect of it. You just said, look, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation, you know, and so forth. The kingdom of God is within you. If you read only that one verse and you run off and say, well, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, you got to read all the other places. You know, it's like us reading John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. And then you run off and you say, that's the only reason that Jesus came. You know, and then you will never get all the rest of the things that Jesus said. You know, that I must preach the kingdom of God, for that is why I was sent, you know, and all the other things he said. Now, so we cannot read just one verse about something and then jump off and say, that's it. You got to read all of these scriptures. Now, in the today's lesson, I want to do a parallel or comparison or contrast between the kingdom of heaven and the church, you know, and I want to do also a contrast between the message of the kingdom versus the message that the
Did we lose Masayato?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
You are kicked out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. I got a note from my daughter that they're no longer hearing me, and my wife came by also. I don't know, you know, sometimes with this app. Okay, let me see. I don't even know, you know, tell me what you heard last, you know, I think it said the message of the kingdom. Okay. So what I was saying was the message of the kingdom is, you know, not exactly the same as what the message of the church has been. The message of the church has not been aligned with what the message of the kingdom was intended to be. Now, Jesus came to introduce that kingdom. Daniel and many of these people bore witness to it before he came. You know, Isaiah said it will be a physical kingdom. David's throne, it's what's called in Isaiah 9:7. And Jerusalem shall be his capital. Even Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3 says that. Now, it's not this current physical Jerusalem. There's a new Jerusalem. But the physical one types it too. So Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord. Well, that's the capital. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, now, if it was so important to Jesus to talk about the kingdom, let's see how we have strayed from it. Now, I want to tell you that Jesus, throughout his lessons that he gave, he talked about the church. You can research it yourself. Jesus talked about the church he used the word church in only three places. The first one was in Matthew 16 when he was taking that survey. So what do the people say that I am and all of that? So on. And finally he said, well, upon this revelation, I will build my church. So he talked about church there. You know, then in Matthew 18, when he was talking about, you know, how you deal with forgiveness and so forth, he talked about church twice, you know. Well, you know, if your brother asks you, offend you, go and tell it to him first. If he doesn't listen, take somebody else, a couple people, and so on. And if he still doesn't listen, you go tell it to the church. And, you know, if he still doesn't listen, then you say, well, let him be, you know, it's kind of just, you know, let him be an outcast, so to speak. Let the church deal with him that way. You know, these are the only places where Jesus talked about the church. Now, in the book of Revelation, you see the word, you know, seven churches and so forth. But in the lessons that Jesus gave when he was here, he did not use the word church too many times. You can count it on one of the fingers or one of your hands. Three times. On the other hand,
I'm not sure if you're still there.
I'm out again.
I can't hear you.
Can you guys hear me? Anyone hear me?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, so.
Alright,
so the. Jesus, I was saying that he talked about church only about three times, but there's about 117 mentions of the kingdom in his teachings. Now, kingdom of God is likened unto this, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto that, and so many times. You give parables, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like this, is like that, and so on and so forth. All the various places that he talked about kingdom. Church, though, you don't talk about three times. Now, that should give us a concept of how important this kingdom is. But that's not the way people look at it today. First of all, the church, the Greek word that's used in the New Testament, ecclesia, which is where we get the word ecclesiology from, which is the study and nature and structure of the church. Ecclesia means the called out ones. You know, so, but called out of what? Well, called out of the world. To do what? Well, let me put it to you this way. You know, the kingdom was intended to be the purpose. The church is intended to be the vehicle, you know, by which the purpose is realized. In other words, the church is a messenger of the kingdom. These two things don't equate to each other. It's like an ambassador is not a kingdom, but is a messenger of the kingdom. It's a representative of the kingdom. You know, now, when Jesus was showing us his ambassadorship, he said, I can't do anything other than what the kingdom says. So, in the same way, the church itself is not the kingdom, but it is part of the kingdom, and we've got to understand what it means. What does it mean, you know, when Jesus began to tell his disciples to go out and teach the kingdom? Well, that's what we've been trying to cover in this series. Now, today, here is the message of the church, which is different than the message which Jesus intended. You know, and when we, those of us who are part of the church today, I say that global church, you know, we think that the purpose of the church is to go to heaven. Now, this is the message of the church. Give your lives to Christ so that you can go to heaven. That's the message of the church. Well, that's not the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is make earth look like heaven. You heard it. You know, not the church should go to heaven, but the church should make the earth look like heaven. Just like the Roman kingdom, they come in there and make that territory and that colony look like Rome, you know, and bring their culture in there. Don't carry anybody away captives. Babylon did that. You know, the Medo-Persians did that. The Grecians, all of these people, they did that. They carried the people away captives. Well, God didn't like that model. So Jesus didn't come during that time. God kind of liked the model of the Romans, because they didn't carry anybody away captive. They made the kingdom attractive. Everybody wanted to be a Roman citizen. We covered that yesterday. So the goal of the church is not to go to heaven, quite unlike what people think. The goal, the role of the kingdom, I mean the church, is to make earth look like heaven. In fact, Jesus, he taught his disciples to pray this thing, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And he said, teach us to pray. He said, wow. Pray that the kingdom of God should come. Let the earth look like the kingdom. That's what Jesus was teaching. In fact, Jesus himself prayed this prayer in John 17, verse 15. I repeat these things in case someone is hearing it for the first time, but we've been teaching it through this series. In John chapter 17, verse 15, when Jesus was praying before he left the earth, praying to the Father, he said, Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world. Now, if the goal of the church was heaven, Jesus would not have prayed that prayer. He would have said, as soon as they believe in me, bring them to heaven. Which is what the church preaches today. Give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. You know, and but that's not the message of the kingdom at all. You know, there is a role that going to heaven plays. But that's not the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is go and preach the kingdom. Show them what the kingdom looks like. Heal the sick, which their own kingdom cannot give them. Raise their dead, which their own kingdom cannot give them. Cleanse their lepers. Heal cancer, leukemia, all these things and so forth. Cast out devils, which their own kingdom cannot do. Make this kingdom of God attractive so that they want to come in. And when they want to come in, they say, how shall I come in? Then you introduce Christ. The only way that you can come in is to be born again. You know, but being born again is not the goal. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, that may sound like heresy to you, but that is only the door. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Also, he said that except you be converted and become a little child, you cannot enter. So conversion and being born again is just to make you enter. That's it. That's the door. You cannot get in any other way. But as we have been showing in this series, getting in the door is only the beginning. But that's where the church stops. The church stops in entering. Once we have entered, well, what do we do now? Well, we wait to go to heaven. So a lot of things have been lost in translation, so to speak. It's like Adam, when they were kicked out of the garden, and these, cherubims with the dwellings, with the flaming sword. And it's like, we're just waiting to die. And Enoch, why can't we go back in there? Well, because God said, we will die. He said, but you're not dead yet. He said, well, yeah, but we're waiting to die. Because God said, we will die. So they're just waiting to die. And they could not understand that there could be something else. Well, Enoch said, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to figure this thing out myself. And he began to pursue God and try to figure out there's got to be more than just sitting around waiting to die. and he figured it out. So there will be people that will figure out in this generation that it's more than just for us sitting around waiting to go to heaven. It's a whole lot more than it. And that's what we're trying to do in this series. Now, we're not taken away from going to heaven. But going to heaven is not the final thing. even heaven itself will come down to earth later on. But the people that are there, they're waiting. God has everything timed. When it's all said and done, it's coming back down here. This is the place where God gave man, and so on. But we have to order this place like heaven. Heaven is the rule. Heaven's rule. God is the king. But the culture of heaven we must bring upon the earth. Begin to make the earth look like that. People of the earth want to be citizens of that. And so on and so forth. Now, the message of salvation which the church preaches actually falls short of the message of the kingdom. It's a good thing that the church preaches. A wonderful thing. And there's no other way you can get into the kingdom other than being born again. But it falls short. It doesn't go far enough. That's what I'm saying. All we preach is that they'll just give your life to Christ. Well, yeah. You give your life to Christ, that brings you into the kingdom. After that, then what? Yeah, that's what we've been talking about in this series. Now, the church, though, just like when Christ came, the parallel when Christ came, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and all these people, they were the ones that, quote-unquote, represented the religious system of the day. Well, the church is the religious system of our day, too. And these people, they were only focused on the letter. Hey, you will not do this. You cannot do this on the Sabbath day. You cannot be healed on the Sabbath day. There are other days. You cannot carry your bed. There are other days for you to come and be healed. On the Sabbath day, you cannot be healed on the Sabbath day. This is what all they were concerned about. They didn't care about the people. Jesus made healings on the Sabbath day. In the temple, of all places. I mean, it's like you're desecrating the temple. In Luke chapter 13, there is, there are many stories like this in the Bible. In Luke chapter 13, from verses 10 to about 17. I mean, each time Jesus does this, the people will be infuriated, and they wanted to kill him, and say, look, you can't do this in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You can't do this. I mean, there's a woman that had infirmity 18 years. And Jesus, went to the synagogue. It was actually the synagogue, not the temple. Temple is in Jerusalem. So he went into the synagogue and said, woman that are loose from that infirmity. And immediately she was made loose. And the ruler of the synagogue was, infuriated because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said, look, there are 6 days which men ought to work. And told the people, on those days, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine? This is a religious system of their day. And Jesus called him, thou hypocrite. That's right. Just called him a hypocrite. every one of you on your Sabbath days, if your ox or donkey should fall into the, you know, ditch, wouldn't you pull him out? And wouldn't you take him, go and water him and give him something to drink on Sabbath day and so forth? And if you can do all those things, what about this woman being a daughter of Abraham? Should she not be loose on such a day as this? You know, and look, you know, and the Lord would many times, he would just dismiss all that stuff. And he said, well, you know, one time he was, you know, Mark chapter 2 and so forth, passing through the cornfields, his disciples, you know, also in Matthew 12, you know, he said, look, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. Jesus himself wasn't doing it, but he wasn't stopping his disciples from doing it. And, you know, and then they said, well, you can't do that. And Jesus said, why not? Have you never read what David did when they say you can't do that? You know, so the kingdom is different from this religious concept. You know, religion just puts people in a box. And the church system, unfortunately, has been like the religious system of our day. You know, and Jesus said, you blind leaders, you won't go in and you won't let people go in. Well, these religious systems, they actually do that. They won't go in and they won't let people go in. Can't be healed on the Sabbath day, they sold it. You know, and so on. Now, there are some other things like, look, you can't talk to a Samaritan, let alone a woman. In John chapter 4, verse 27. I mean, it's like, you can't talk to this Samaritan and you can't even talk to a woman. You know, in John chapter 8, I'm just showing you how the religious system thinks. In John chapter 8, they brought this woman, adulterous woman. The religious system, what did they say? Stone her to death. Kingdom says, set her loose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kingdom, set you loose. The religious systems under the churches put you in bondage. And we got to be free. You've got to be free. Now, if the church were doing it right, it would be good. But the church is the agency supposed to do this thing. But they have not been doing it right. You know, in the book of Matthew, you know, chapter 4, you know, verse 17 and verse 23, here's what Jesus said. You know, he said, repent, kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what he began to preach, always teaching kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Now, if we were to teach the kingdom of heaven today, what might that look like? Well, it might look like some of these things we've been doing in this series, trying to get people to recognize what they have that is different. In the book of Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, God said to Egypt, Pharaoh and everybody, he said, look, you're going to find out something, how that I will make a difference. This was why I gave you the exercise yesterday. I'm going to put a difference between the Egyptians and my people. Now, in the kingdom, there is a difference. Now, the church, you know, should be preaching more of these lessons that we're talking about today. But here are some things that the church says. Well, church, I'm going to talk about church-mindedness and kingdom-mindedness for the next few minutes. You know, church says, you know, give your life to Christ, go to heaven, and come to church. And come to church is good, because the Bible teaches that. Well, kingdom says, when you enter into the kingdom, go into the world or the marketplace. That's what Jesus said. And this doesn't mean you don't go to church, but the church is not your focus. You know, its focus is go and make disciples of others. Get them into the kingdom. And church says, well, come to church. Well, once you come to church, then you think you are fulfilled. So the church mindedness, they've reduced the vision of the kingdom to the things that we do in the church, the boundaries, you know, and there's a lot of good things that we do in the church. I mean, we, you know, once you are in the church, you have these ministries in the church. You can be a greeter, an usher. You can work in the children's ministry. You can be a preacher. You can be a praise team. You can be this and that and so on. you know, we reduce, we can't see past that, those things. You know, you just say, well, you know, as long as to serve means for you to do one of these things. And then we recycle people that should be in the kingdom. We recycle them from church to church. That doesn't make any growth in the kingdom. When someone leaves the church, goes to another church, that other church that receives the new person, they're happy. And sometimes some churches even, you know, poach other members from another church because they're church-minded. And they just recycle people. You know, come to our church. Leave your church. Come here. You know, that doesn't make the kingdom any bigger. You just move from one place to another. It's just church. You know, in the kingdom, you know, whether the, you know, right here, you know, the church religious system, the two churches opposite each other next, in the place where we, the street where we have our building, there's about five other churches there. You know, church-mindedness is we don't care about what they are doing and they don't care about what we are doing. That's church-mindedness. You know, kingdom-mindedness will say, well, those people over there, they got fire. You know, if you need this kind of deliverance, you go over there. Now, all church-mindedness will never do that. You know, so this is the difference. You know, the kingdom-mindedness, they have a vision and their dream. They think outside the box. You know, they want to heal the wounds of the people in their neighborhood, their workplace, their community. They want to reach out to the fatherless, the addiction, you know, those who are addicted. You know, they want to help fix marriages and so forth. And there's some churches that are doing that. When they are doing it, they're kingdom-minded. But sometimes they don't stay in the kingdom-mindedness. They are more protective of their ministry, you know. And even the church leaders, they're more about, you know, introducing themselves. They're more about promoting themselves. We did these things yesterday. He that speaks of himself, he's not speaking of the person that sent him. An ambassador doesn't do that. You know, the church-minded people will see the good news. Listen to this. The good news of the gospel, this is how the church preaches it. It's about the afterlife. Where are you going when you die? This is what the church message is. You know, make sure you go to heaven when you die. So that's how the church is preaching this thing. It's kind of like something in the future. You can only get there after you die. Well, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus actually said you can get there when you're born again, not when you die. But the church teaches that you can only get there when you die. After you die, you go to heaven. Then you get to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, no. While you are yet living, when you get born again, you know, Nicodemus said, how can somebody that is a grown man enter into the belly of his mother again? Jesus said, are thou a teacher in Israel? You don't understand these things. You can read the conversation in John chapter 3. Jesus said, no. Now is when you enter the kingdom, not when you die. The church says, well, when you die, you go to heaven. You enter the kingdom. No. Kingdom message is now. Today, you can be in the kingdom by giving your lives to Christ today. You come in the kingdom, and then you start to operate like they do in the kingdom. Because we're teaching people to go to heaven when they die, and that's when they will get into the kingdom, people don't understand that there is kingdom right now. And so we miss a lot. That's why we've been doing this series, and that's why we did the one yesterday as well. You know, so kingdom-minded people will see the good news in terms of kingdom life right now, both in God now and then later, not just after you die. You know, so that's the difference. Church-minded will say that, look, everything is under the organization of one church. You know, we do meetings, we do activities, we serve, we pray, we do social work, etc. And we say, when you come to church, you're fulfilled. I mean, many people feel fulfilled when they come to church. And then when they go to a certain meeting, and they feel fulfilled, and that's it. You know? And they don't think anything else. And so if a lot of people go to church, they couldn't care less about the rest of the world. As long as they come to church, raise their hands, shout the victory, hear a good message, and everything, they're okay. You know, that's the focus. And it's so narrow. You see, because they don't know what the kingdom really looks like. Now, kingdom-minded people will think outside the box. the church box. You know, the kingdom is supposed to influence every part of society and bring them under the influence of heaven. Make the kingdom of heaven attractive so they want to come. Change the culture and so forth. You know, even be a peacemaker. It's a blessed are the peacemakers. They be called the children of the kingdom, the children of God, and so on. Now, activities that we do in church, those are wonderful. But, you know, let's not think that that equates to the kingdom. That's part of the kingdom. The kingdom goes way beyond the limits of the four walls of that so-called church. Here's something that the, you know, the church needs to be doing that we're not doing. Introducing Jesus, not just as Lord and Savior, as the message of the church. We need to introduce Jesus as King. As a kingdom message. Jesus is King, and Jesus was acting in the King capacity. I told you yesterday how the King can make a decree for somebody, and that's it. You know, Jesus was acting in that capacity when he said, ask me anything. That's the King. The King can do anything. Ask me anything, I will do it for you. Now, we've been failing to introduce Jesus as King. You know, we just introduce him, well, you give your life, he'll save your life, and he'll save you, and you go to heaven. Well, something is missing. That's good. That part is true. But the part that is missing is right now, right here, you can come in under the rulership of the Christ. That's right. And you can adopt a new culture, a new, you know, set of rules and different things. And it's kingdom principles. Now, many Christians for a long time ask people that they witness to, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Would you go to heaven? And that's a good question. You know? But the question we should be asking in the kingdom should be, when I wake up tomorrow, what will I live for? Kingdom is not about dying. Jesus already took care of that. You know, Jesus died. He tasted death for every man. He took care of that one. The kingdom is no longer about dying. We are still preaching death as the way to enter into the kingdom. When you die, you go into heaven. You know, that's what the church is still preaching. Jesus already took care of that. What we should be telling people now is tomorrow, when you wake up, what are you going to live for? Not if you die, where are you going? You know, what are you going to live for tomorrow? What are you going to do in the kingdom tomorrow? How is your life going to influence somebody else? You know, because that's kingdom. That's ambassadorship. How do you represent right now? Not later, right now. You know, now the church and the kingdom, they're closely related, but they're not identical. So when the Bible is speaking of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it is referring to the reign of God, heaven, in the world. That's what the kingdom of heaven really means. Now, this kingdom is one that can never be destroyed. Daniel told us that. It is one that will never end. You know, Isaiah told us that. You know, his kingdom, increase thereof will be forever. And Jesus will sit on the throne forever. Now, although the church and its activities, you can fit them into the kingdom, you can never squeeze the kingdom into the church. The church is part of the kingdom, the agency that's supposed to make things work right, but you can't put the kingdom into the church. It's not it's the other way around. The kingdom is more global than the church, but we see the church as the thing. You know, you know, the church, what we have created in the box that we've created, instead of creating kingdom people, we create church people. People that come to church. You know, and as long as they go to church, you know, we're good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that kingdom, the message of the kingdom is not a means to building a bigger church. That, on the other hand, though, listen, let me say that to you again. The message of the kingdom is not the means to building a bigger church. It's not about building a bigger church or enlarging your church and so on. No. On the other hand, that church is the means to demonstrating the kingdom. The church works for the kingdom, not the other way around. Just like the ambassador works for the kingdom. You know, the church is the ambassadorship of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Church works for the kingdom. You know, so we need to get out of the church box and get into the kingdom box. There are many things that we do today that shows us that we don't understand the kingdom. You know, we don't understand it at all. You know, when the next church down the road is doing something, that they're trying to do an event to promote the kingdom, and we say, well, those people are not part of us, you know, and so forth, then we don't understand the kingdom. Neither did the disciples understand the kingdom. You know, they were going, one day they saw some people casting out devils. They said, these people are not part of our congregation. They're not part of our church. And we forbade them. You know, because they are not part of our church. They were not kingdom-minded at first. You know, they were, you know, just localized everything. And Jesus said, no, you cannot forbid them. They are doing kingdom. Don't think that they need to come to your church, your congregation. No, in the kingdom, just say, look, if they're doing these things, that, you know, they can't speak lightly of me. You know, let them be. You know, this is kingdom work. You need more. You know, it's not just your church. And today, we're still like that. You know, some church is doing something, the other church turns their back because they're not part of our church. So we can't be part of it. Well, then you are not representing the kingdom. Then you don't understand the kingdom. It's kingdom, folks. It's not church. You know, kingdom is the goal. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion in the under the kingdom. Let them have this dominion, expand our dominion. The king expanding his rule from heaven to the earth through dominion, through mankind. You know, that's the plan. That was the original plan. That was the message that God put out from the beginning. And then at the end, when you jump to, this was in Genesis 1 verses 26 to 28. Then you fast forward to Revelation 11 and 15. You will see that it's the same thing. Finally, all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, the anointed one. And we are seated with him and in him, actually, in heavenly places. The government will be upon his shoulder. Christ is the head. It's not the shoulder. Christ is the head. The church is his body. When he says government will be upon his shoulder, yeah, that's the church also, because Christ is the head. You know, so the church will reign. You know, Revelation 12, it says, look, to rule the nations with a rod of iron. You know, that man child, when he's born, their role, their goal, and so forth. But for them to do it right, he needs to start now. We need to be understanding right now. You know, so next time that you're trying to get someone to give their life to Christ, get them to come into the kingdom. It's not so much about coming to church. As a matter of fact, there are some people, you know, that when we go out to witness, it's just about come to church. If we invite them to come to church, we're good. And we think we've done something. Well, they may never come. In fact, they may not even live in the area where the church belongs. And then what does that mean? Does that mean there will not be a kingdom if they, in the kingdom, they can't come to your church? You know, so we need to introduce the kingdom and let them be, know how to function in the kingdom. Now, invite them to church. That's good, but that's not the goal. That's not the end goal. When they come to church, it's a means to an end. It's part of the discipleship process. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, no disciple is above the master. Every disciple that is perfect, though, will be like the master. So discipleship is the road to perfection. You bring them to church, they disciple them so they can be like the master. They can know how to function like the master, you know, in the kingdom. That's it. It's not that an end to the means. As long as they're coming to church, we're good. No. They need to know how to function in the kingdom. Now, what are the things we have said today then? Let me wrap it up. You know, first of all, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. Second of all, Jesus, he spoke about the kingdom a lot more than he spoke about the church. You know, you'll find many, many chapters devoted to parables of the kingdom. You'll find only three places where he talked about church. You know, Matthew chapter 13, he talked about kingdom. Matthew 22, Matthew 20, Matthew 25, Luke 19, Mark chapter, 4, and all these places talked about the kingdom. So the message of Jesus. And what does Jesus give us in the church? Well, he gives us the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit to do? Well, it's to make us recognize, you know, what we have in the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then Luke 22 and 29. Behold, I appoint you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed me. And these are the things that Jesus was saying. So if we only read John 3:16 and we don't read and understand these other things, we just think that, oh, all that Jesus did was just to, you know, so we give our lives to Christ and be saved and then go to heaven. Jesus said no such thing. In fact, Jesus didn't preach that message. You know, that was not his message. You know, it's part of the writings of the scriptures and it's ordained by God. And we know it's true. That there's no other way for you to be saved than to give your life to Christ. Christ is the only Savior. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The stone that was rejected became the head of the corner. No other way to get salvation than Christ. But Jesus didn't come preaching that. He came preaching the kingdom. Because his goal was to bring things back into alignment. The things that the devil you served and when we lost. And the price that Jesus paid. Jesus is dying on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. You know, this may be another thing that may be profound statement. The death of Jesus on the cross was not the goal. You know, Jesus came to die. Yeah, we know that, but that was not the goal. The goal is bigger than that. John chapter 12 verse 24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, now, if the death was the goal, then Jesus wouldn't say anything else about it after he died. He would say, well, he falls into the ground, he died. That's it. No, but when he dies, it will do something. It will bring forth something. You know, so that death was a means to the thing reproducing itself. It's not the goal in itself. If Jesus died and did not get up from the grave, then we are lost. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 will tell you that. But Jesus died. It was a ransom that he paid to get the kingdom back. You know, that's it. You know, so the next time we think about the death of Jesus, go beyond the immediate message of, well, now I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. No. You know, it's way beyond that. Well, that's the beginning. If you don't get that first step, you're not going anywhere. So that first step is critical. You know, you can't go anywhere if you don't have that first step. But it's only a first step. It's not the end. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, if that was the end, none of you who are believers, who have given your life to Christ, I myself, by the grace of God, you know, decades ago that I gave my life to Christ, I should not be here. I should have gone to heaven. If just giving my life to Christ was the end game, give your life to Christ and go to heaven. Then what am I still doing here? Why am I still here after all these years of giving my life to Christ? I should be in heaven already. You know, but I'm not in heaven yet, but I am in the kingdom of heaven. That's the difference. The heaven that we think of as, oh, you know, beyond the clouds and so forth. Yeah, it's there, but the kingdom of heaven is within you now. It's already here, you know, and if you can understand that, then you are not far from the kingdom. You can come on in, you know, and then experience the kingdom, you know, and so forth. And let's teach people. Jesus said, go and teach these things. You know, let's teach people. Now, so that's the summary today. As we show the role of the church is to bring things into alignment. The church is a powerful agency in the kingdom. You know, in fact, Jesus, you know, he talked about the church. It's not that he didn't, he just didn't, you know, the church just was not the main message. But the church is powerful. He said, look, I will build my church, you know, and the gates of hell cannot prevent it. This church, they have a role to play. And Father, leave them here. Don't bring them to heaven as soon as they come in. Leave them here. They got a job to play. And the job is for us to bring things into alignment. Now, you now understand these things, you know. So let me wrap it up here. Throughout this series, we've been talking about the kingdom of God or heaven. You know, as I put it, it's really the same thing. But I said kingdom of God just so people wouldn't think kingdom of heaven like in heaven. So today I chose to use the word, the title kingdom of heaven, and I chose to explain it that it doesn't mean that it's literally only in heaven. Just like kingdom of God doesn't mean that God is the location of the kingdom. You know, it means the kingdom that belongs to God. Same thing, kingdom of heaven means the kingdom that belongs to heaven. Heaven's territories. Hallelujah. Heaven's domain. You know, and, you know, the Lord told Nebuchadnezzar, finally, when you realize that the heavens do rule, then I will bring you back. And the Lord put 7 years, put him down for 7 years, again like a monkey and so forth, put a heart of a beast inside of him until you do know that the heavens do rule. Hallelujah. God rules in the affairs of man. You know, and that's why we have by the decree of the holy watchers. They got in there, you know, and that's why God told Job, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Job 38 and 33. Can you set their dominion upon the earth? The ordinances of heaven is what rules upon the earth. And this is what the church is supposed to understand. We need to understand the ordinances of heaven. How does heaven function? What are the things, you know, that how heaven functions so that we can bring it to bear upon the earth? This is the goal. Now, I'm going to pray over the room and ask the Holy Spirit to expand it more to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let no one say that he has dismissed the church. I never said that. You know, I've said that church is so vital. You know, you must go to church. Do not forsake the assemblies of one another. And that's going to church. That's important too. I never said told anybody not to go to church. I go to church myself. But I'm a pastor at a local church. You know, so, you know, we're not talking about that, but what we are saying is, it is way beyond that. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 25 tells you, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. That assembly is what we call church. Don't forsake it. It's in the scriptures. But, you know, don't think that that's the end goal. As long as you go there, that's it. No. It's way more than that. What are we doing in furthering the kingdom of God? Are you praying, you know, that the kingdom of God should come? That's what Jesus said we should pray. I mean, how many believers actually pray that prayer today? We don't think about that anymore. We're just consumed with so many other things. And Jesus explained that, look, you need to seek the kingdom. We want the kingdom to come. We want to experience the kingdom. We want to function like the kingdom. We want to seek the kingdom. I want to know what is in the kingdom. What do I need to know? So what Jesus said, we should be seeking. You know, not seeking how we should eat, drink, or do all these other things. You know, so that's our lesson in this series. You know, I may have one or two other more days to finish off this series, but that's what we've been talking about. Bringing an understanding to the role that the influence that the kingdom of heaven should have upon the earth in our lives. We as that good agency, you know, to bring that change into people's lives. Agents of change, some people call them. Bring that change into people's lives. So that they, and how, why would anyone to even desire to be changed? Well, we show them what the kingdom looks like. Make them want to desire it. One man said, with the great price, I purchased this. Well, Paul said, I was born free. Well, you know, but people wanted it because they saw the benefits. And that's the goal of the church. The church will also show them the door, how to get in there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he'll be saved. You know, I'm the good shepherd, and so forth. Now, so we show them the door. The way to get, after they've seen the kingdom, and say, well, how can I be a part of this kingdom? I say, well, let me tell you, this is the way. You got to come in through Christ. You can't get in any other way. And we show them how to get in into the kingdom. You know, so our role is to try to persuade people, you know, to look at the kingdom in a different light. But if we ourselves look just like the world, then we have nothing new, different to offer. So, Father, I thank you. And I give you the praise and give you the glory. I pray for understanding. I pray for enlightenment. That we may begin to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me drop this also. Holy Spirit just brought it to my mind. And I've taught it in this room. You know, church says to the women, you got to be silent. Kingdom says, hey, you know, there is no difference. You are the same. Joint heirs with Christ. That's right. You know, so, you know, the church may make you silent. Want to keep you silent. Well, that's church. That's okay. And that's fine. But in the kingdom, the world is your stage. Kingdom says you are all the same. Whether you're a man, woman, you can preach the gospel just the same. Praise the Lord. You know, you have the same rights in the kingdom as elsewhere. I mean, as anybody else. Praise the Lord. So Father, we thank you for this understanding. May we be liberated and to know the things that are in kingdom and empower us to see beyond the four walls of the church, the physical building, and to see and understand the things of the kingdom, that we may introduce the same to others and thereby propagate this kingdom. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.